If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 368. This is our 2025 Amgen Irish Open Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting preview that Paul has pulled together for the Irish Open. He's also been busy in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have detailed form, event and combi sheets, plus our new and old predictor models for the Amgen Irish Open. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required. On X, you can follow us. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We're on Blue Sky as well. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Please press that subscribe button. That'd be fantastic. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, read them out. I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the description. This one is from Bob Said 444. He's in the United States. Titled, These Blokes Are the Best Doing It. 5 stars. I am not a gambler, but I still listen to every golf betting system podcast because I am a dyed-in-the-wool golf sicko and love to go into every week feeling that I have a really good handle on the dynamics at play. How will the course play? What is the agronomy like? What types of skills are at a premium? Which players fit the mould? If you love golf and want to be intellectually stimulated and value intelligent in-depth analysis, this is the podcast for you. Moreover, I could listen to these blokes natter on for ages and remain positively chuffed. They are the absolute governors of the podcasting world. Well, what can you say about that, guys? Bob Said 444 in the United States. Thank you very much for a fantastic 5-star review.
Brilliant stuff. That's an outstanding review, Bob. Thanks for that. Interesting point of view as well, isn't it? That someone who doesn't necessarily gamble on golf or bet on golf, but listens for the general insight as to the nature of the course and the players and. Just enhancing the viewing spectacle of that tournament. Brilliant stuff. Thanks, Bob.
Sounds like he'd be, Bob, thank you for that. Sounds like he'd be very dangerous if you did decide to gamble on golf. If you're that deep in the knowledge assimilation.
Yeah, yeah. Just build up some info and background knowledge as you go along. Very good.
Did you guys bet the last, like speaking of betting, like on the last, just I didn't bet the last couple of weeks. Just decided, no, not interested. Took time off and just watched. It was kind of nice. Refreshing.
Not a bad thing to take a break every now and again. Yes, I did. Not to any success, but yes, I had a punt the last couple of weeks on the DP World Tour, but not with any returns, sadly. That's all going to change this week, Barry. We've got the winner this week.
Nice. Well, I mean, you've got me in the country on the, I can go along and place a crowbar squarely on somebody's knee if they're getting in the way of your bet winning.
The Barry factor.
Yeah.
I didn't have one bet. I needed some time off. So we come back from our summer break refreshed. And Bob, thank you for that 5-star review. It's fantastic. Really, really good. Keep the 5-star reviews coming, please, because we are getting towards the bottom of our reservoir. So if you can send in a fantastic five-star review over the course of the next 5-6 days, you're more than likely to get read out at the start of next week's BMW PGA Championship show from Wentworth, which I'm attending, by the way, guys. I know that, Barry, you're not coming across. Paul can't make it. So I'm the only one of the Golf Betting System podcast crew going to Wentworth next Friday. So there's a few regulars out there that we tend to meet. So Neil might be there. We've got Harry might be there. Get in contact. We might be able to meet up for a beverage, a lunchtime beverage. Paul, what do you think? You'll be missing out. I know you'll be gutted, won't you?
Yeah, I'm sure I can envisage where you'll be around about around about lunchtime.
What time did the bar open? I always get confused. I always think it's 9 a.m.
Stella.
Yeah, they held you back to 11 a.m. last time, Steve.
We were second in the queue. I remember it well.
Oh, it was quite funny. Yeah, he was giving out like, we go for one more coffee about 10 to 11. He's like, no.
No,
just going to stand here for a few minutes.
No coffee. We need to get in the queue. Yeah. Get in the queue for the lager that they change every year.
That, to be fair, there was a cloud in the sky, so there was a suggestion there may have been some rain coming. So to find some cover at that point was a prudent move, I think.
Yeah. Any excuse. Yeah, exactly.
Any excuse. You won't find me inside the ropes. You'll just find me at the bar. That's my BMW PGA Championship.
Under lock and
key. I'm taking my nephew and our designer, Joe, who you did meet, Barry, when you came across a couple of years ago. He is in for the time of his life, the poor lad, because they both know that their uncle likes a beer or seven.
This is Uncle Steve is paying for all the beers. Uncle Steve is paying for all the beers. Yeah, exactly. He'll have a great time.
So I took the younger nephew to the Oval last year, and even I can't remember the day, and he was in all sorts of trouble. And so now I'm taking the older one to Wentworth, just me and him. So I don't know. He doesn't know what he's let himself in for, but he'll soon find out.
I'm sure he'll love it.
Soon find out. Right, we need to catch up, don't we? We've missed a slug of golf. Right, let's quickly run through this, because otherwise this could be a 17-hour podcast. Right, PGA Tour, let's refresh. BMW Championship was the last tips podcast we did. That effectively turned out to a Scottie Scheffler versus Robert McIntyre head-to-head. And Scheffler came through on the Sunday, so I know it's not much of a shout, but that was a tick for me. I had Scheffler win only, so 5-2. Scheffler did the business there. I thought it was interesting to see McIntyre playing such great golf prior to the Ryder Cup. We'll go into the Ryder Cup selections.
Why was it something about the course, you think, that kind of activated McIntyre to that level? Because he's been playing quite well, but like to go up that extra notch.
Robert's history on the PGA Tour is quite short. He's only been there a couple of years, really, isn't he, full-time? But you actually look, his first win was in Canada. Mm. So again, I think it could be agronomy. You know, Oban, those kind of Northern European grasses, just feels comfortable.
Oh, yeah, right. I have to figure out what Maryland... Yeah, this was a Maryland angle. Just curious what you thought was the reason, because he just got that like spike week seemingly out of nowhere. I've never seen a Scotsman shake his head so much as to when Scottie Scheffler chipped in.
Oh no.
Oh, that was
obscene, wasn't it?
Watch
he's like that he's like that robot in the Terminator. Was it the T-1000 or something? It's just
just never stops.
Anytime you think you might have him, it's like, no, he's back. He's just going to devastate you.
Yeah. Well, as Bob said afterwards, you know, if that runs by and he makes bogey there, then it's a different game completely. And instead it goes in birdie and, you know, the writing's pretty much on the ball at that point.
Yeah.
I think Robert would be slightly disappointed. I mean, he was leading at 14 under after 36. He was 16 under after 54. And the leading total in the end by Scheffler was 15 under.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to leave a sour taste. But at the end of the day, McIntyre's going to win a lot of golf tournaments moving forward. And he's going to this point, clearly, Scottish Open and that one RBC Canadian Open, there seems to be something. You know, don't look for him in Florida. Look for him sort of later in the summer, potentially.
Early season, might, late season.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't know, maybe a Torrey Pines or a Riviera or something like that early on when with the Poa grasses.
Mm. It'll be another string to his bow, like learning from that Sunday. Like the poor start really put him on the back foot. So, but he'll learn from that hopefully, and you know, next time he gets himself in that position, because it's a high profile event. That's big pressure. You know, it's not quite major level, but it's, you know, it's in the upper echelons of tournament pressure. So,
yeah, it's not the 3M Open. Right, Tour Championship next up, boys. Tommy Fleetwood wins his maiden PGA Tour title and the FedEx Cup to boot. Now, that is a story. I mean, let's be frank, I've always been one to point out Tommy's weaknesses of not winning in the States, the amount of starts, but that was an unbelievable performance. So well done to Tommy Fleetwood. I think that's fantastic.
Yep. Interesting to see, you know, we say this all the time, but interesting to see where he goes from here, because that, if there was a monkey to get off a player's back, that was one hell of a monkey to get off Tommy Fleetwood's back.
That's how you write a script. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you're going to win a tournament, win one that's worth $10 million and win the whole lot. I mean, the smile on his face, the beaming smile from Tommy was just something to behold. He was so, so chuffed to win that, and quite rightly. And I didn't have a bean on him. I suspect many, many punters didn't either, because
he's third favourite, 14-1. Yeah, third favourite.
It's that kind of unbackable Tommy Fleetwood price where the bookies are just saying to you, well, take a chance if you like, but he doesn't win. And so many punters would have left him alone, and then he goes and does that. Brilliant, brilliant story. Absolutely delighted for Tommy Fleetwood to do that. And I sincerely hope that he goes on and wins a load of tournaments now. Does what Tony Finau did when he kind of broke through again, didn't he? And then he won quite a number of tournaments in relatively quick succession. I can see that happening with Tommy. He's got the game to win loads. I just hope he doesn't dry up and that's his legacy. Sure he won't. We'll see.
It's just so good. I mean, you couldn't have asked for it to wrap up that big arc about not winning in America in a better way. And he looked, it's like he took all the lessons and all the feels and emotions, and he just packed them all into one great event and looked pretty comfortable for them, you know, as far as we could see throughout it. So yeah, just, it was, what a great moment for golf. And you could just see how much that man just is loved by everybody.
Yeah,
like even the American fans were shouting for him, like, which is
they all chanting, weren't they, for Tommy? They all wanted Tommy to win. They didn't want Patrick Cantlay to win. No. I mean, he was taking five hours per shot.
Yeah,
I'll put a note here, chaps. Tommy must have known it was his day after Scheffler's out of bounds drive on the first tee. It went left again, and being in a head to head with Patrick Cantlay and Russell Henley for your first PGA Tour title.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a little bit of sarcasm in there. Cantlay, yeah. Henley and Tommy Fleetwood fighting it out for the FedEx Cup. Basically, all of the beans.
Yeah. Someone's got to win. And Tommy.
Thankfully, it was Tommy. Right, DP World Tour pool. Three tournaments we've missed since the last podcast. I'll go through what they were and who the winners were, and then you can just run through a little recap quickly. Danish Golf Championship, Marco Penge. Betfred British Masters, Alex Noren. Alex Noren winning a golf tournament in Europe and never winning in the States. There you go. Mm. I mean, and then Amiga European Masters last week at Cronjeur-sur-Sierre. I looked at his numbers from the outing before. You'd never get to Tristan Lawrence to win that from his previous outing, but Tristan Lawrence winning at Cronjeur-sur-Sierre last week. So what are your takeouts from Penge, Noren and Lawrence, Paul?
Penge was quite frustrating, given that I'd backed in the previous week in Aberdeen. It didn't matter because Of course, Grant Forrest won that. But yeah, back-penned and kind of had the feeling that he had another win in him. And so it proved. Two wins now for the season. He'll be on the PGA Tour next year, as we know. And I am so looking forward to him playing on the PGA Tour because there are going to be some really strong courses that are set up perfectly for him as we go through the season. So definitely one to watch. We'll get some decent prices on him early doors in the season. If he shows a bit of form quite early on, then I'm sure that won't last. But do keep an eye on Marco Penge next year on the PGA Tour because there's potential there. Yeah, Alex Noren, as you say, at the Belfry as well. And that was the Belfry's one of those tournaments where we do get late surges from the winners coming through and winning the tournament. Was it Daniel Hillier did something similar there in the recent past as well? So Noren came through with a birdie blast towards the end of the tournament and nabbed that from Nicolai Højgaard, wasn't it?
He was also still had some work. Probably the lowest scorer over the weekend as well. Just scanning here.
Yeah, possibly. He still had some work to do on the 18th, though. I mean, that's a brutal finishing hole there at the Belfry.
That's his first win since the 2018 Open de France. And it's his 11th DP stroke European Tour victory for Alex Noren. Nice.
So he's like,
and we've always, you just look at them, they're all on bent grass or Poana, or a mixture of the two. European Masters, Saab Wales Open, Nordea Masters, Scottish Open, Amiga European Masters, British Masters, the Ned Bank, BMW PGA at Wentworth, and the one in Paris. He just absolutely wins on bent or bent Poa.
He's got some nice tournament wins there, though. The cachet, like the level of them. Yeah. He's such a likable dude. You could just see everybody was so happy for him.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Yeah, and he still had to nail that 6-7 footer, didn't he, on the final hole to win. And that was for bogey as well, to make sure that he got over the line. So, yeah, showed some minerals there. And it had been trending after his injury, so I'm sure there were plenty of punters on him.
We noted that a good few weeks back, didn't we, that he'd come back, was playing half-decent golf, but like I guess at this stage we never expected him to go grab a win.
I almost backed him at the Wyndham, and I didn't, and he placed at like 90 to 1. He was trending, coming back from that injury. He's still got to earn his card in the States, by the way. He's still down in the sort of, I don't know, he might even be plus 100 on the FedEx. He's way down there. So you're going to see Alex Noren over in the States. Over
playing the Autumn Series.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah.
That takes us to Cranchurcière and Tristan Lawrence, Paul.
Yeah, well, he's a funny one, Lawrence, isn't he? Five wins now on the tour for Tristan. That one was off the back of three missed cuts, and prior to that, there wasn't much form either. And that's not the first time that he's won off the back of pretty poor incoming form. But he knows how to get the job done. He knows how to get over the line when the opportunity arises. Previous winner there, so there was something to go on as well, I suppose. I had a look at him. 40 to 1-ish, that kind of bracket. So
you're struggling to back that after three missed cuts, aren't you?
Yeah, well, this is the point. You know, you could look at it and go, well, I'd take a chance on him at 80 or 100 to 1 off the back of no form. But no, it was one of those where you put a line for him on the back of, nothing much to really grab onto. But he knows how to win. When it's all good, it's all good.
Even after the dodgy start as well on Sunday.
Yeah, was that three bogeys on the trot to start with, didn't he? And
it'd make you feel very comfortable on the fourth tee, right?
That seemed to free him up, didn't it?
Well, and this is the point, isn't it? If you can do that, he played a fantastic shot. Is it the
sixth? It was a free eagle. Yeah.
Yeah, outstanding. And got it back on track there. And, you know, you've got Matt Wallace, who's doing absolutely everything he possibly can to try and win that golf tournament. And, in the end, Tristan just eased through and won it in some style. So, yeah, you can never discount him.
we'll get to the chats about the big the team event coming up soon. So Matt Wallace was extremely emotional after the event.
Yes.
Do you think that there's any world that if he was told if you win this you get a pick for the Ryder Cup, or is it just because he's working so hard and he knew no matter what he did this week he was just going to fall one or two spots short, or he'd be just outside that Ryder Cup team?
I think it would have fallen out anyway. The same thing happened back in 2018, 2019, whenever it was, when he won the one in Denmark with Thomas Bjorn watching him, and still didn't get a pick then. So he had previous, and the correlation to that situation last week was strong. And had he gone and won that and not got a pick again, then it would have been like lightning striking twice, I guess. But the emotion there, he wants it so much, and I wonder if he wants it just a bit too much and just needs to just to chill out a little bit.
Well, whatever way he's going about it, he's pretty close to unlocking the secret, because he has got himself like that close. So see how he goes next time around.
We'll see Wallace in the States as well. He's 92 in the FedEx. Don't forget, top 100 keep their full status. Mm. Alex Noren, just for reference, 105. So there's golf for those guys to play over in America later on this year to make sure they get their top 100 status.
Mm.
Danny Walker's at 98. Just thought I'd get that one in there. Right, Ryder Cup. Good segue. Talking about Danny Walker. Let's take you through the six captain picks, and then we can have a little discussion around that. And then we will, I promise, listeners, move on to this week's Golf in Ireland. Ryder Cup Team USA, six captain Bradley picks. Now, of course, prior to this situation last week, the main question was Keegan going to pick himself? And he didn't. His picks were Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, rookie, Cam Young, rookie, Patrick Cantlay, and Sam Burns. Thoughts, Barry? What are your thoughts on those six picks for Captain Bradley and the fact that he didn't pick himself?
Starting with him not picking himself, I thought it was a very good decision. There's no situation where he could do something so unbelievable that it would stand him apart from somebody else he could have chosen. And there was like maybe a 1% chance or 2% chance of something great happening as a result of him picking himself. But I think the downside, like the middle ground is there, but then there's just this massive downside that everybody would wait to jump on for him picking himself. If he missed any putt, any shot, made anything that could be deemed a slightly incorrect decision on a pick for one of the sessions, he was only going to be in trouble. So I think 100% the right decision. And it must have hurt him to do that, because he was such a strong candidate. And if he wasn't the captain, he would have fully expected to get a pick. So good for him for doing it. I think I think he would be, if I was in his shoes, I think I'd feel like I'd made the right call. So that you can sleep at night. That's the important thing. The picks, nothing really surprising. Kind of expected those to be the ones that went through if he hadn't picked himself. So
There's players in there that aren't playing great stuff, mate. Thomas, Morikawa, Griffin's had a great season. If you want a form horse, Cam Young's qualified in the last 6 weeks, so there's your form horse.
That's fine. Patrick, that could fall off. Patrick Cantlay's not playing well, but that doesn't mean I didn't expect him not to be left off the team.
Like, well, no, tough, he's the union representative, isn't he? He's basically the team manager. So
he got them all their payday, and it's very difficult playing Dracula. So that's he's got that going for him.
And then you've got Scotty Scheffler's best mate, Sam Burns. I mean, he's hardly been tearing it up, has he? But he is an absolutely ferocious putter. So you can see that, you know, in certain aspects, he can be paired up, but.
Steve, he's also 10th in data golf, Sam Burns is, so he's not exactly playing bad golf this year. Wow. So, I mean, Ben Griffin is 7th in data golf, so he's an amazing season, but he's a rookie, and it's going to be in, it's hard to know. Like, he looks like the kind of guy who will just, like, absorb that energy and go with it, but it might be too much energy for him to be able to use. It'll be interesting to see. I don't understand. Cantlay is 14th in data golf. But I guess that's just when you keep finishing 28th and 32nd all the time and you're not missing cuts. I suppose that's kind of what's happening.
Consistency, isn't it?
JT is 12th. So on paper, there's some good stuff there. Xander's 9th. But a lot of them don't pass the eye test, which is why we have that feeling that they're not playing great.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Compared to some of the results that the European team players have got over the last few weeks, it seems like they're a step down. I think if Ben Griffin had missed out, that would have been
unfair.
A real shame for him, given given the golf that he's played. So yeah, great to see him on the team. As to how much golf he actually gets, we'll see. Will he get more than 3 starts? Probably not. But
no.
Great experience anyway.
Cam Young's one, you know, clearly a New York boy. If he catches fire on a Bethpage course, that's, I believe he won an amateur title there many, many years ago. They're going to be cheering for him. He's built for that course, just power off the tee. Young could be, you know, Young's one I would potentially keep in mind for top debutant or even like a top point scorer, USA, or just one of those markets. Get a sort of bit of 3 place each way action on there, a good price. I think Young could be one to keep an eye on. Ryder Cup Team Europe selections were Monday of this week. Luke Donald. Now, this guy's played this with a completely straight bat. Shane Lowry, John Rahm, Sepp Straka, Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg, Matt Fitzpatrick. No room for Matt Wallace. No room for Harry Hall, who made the top 30 on the PGA Tour and the Tour Championship. No room for probably the young player of the season on the DP World Tour, Marco Penge. So he's gone for purely experience and top-level golfers. I mean, there's a couple of... there's a couple of players in there you'd probably question. I know a lot of people are picking out Fitzpatrick, who's got a dire Ryder Cup record to this point. But then conversely, you could say, well, he's won a US Open and he's in the form that he's shown over the last 3 months. 3 months ago, we'd have said he wouldn't be in the team. So he's actually entering in form. We've got Straka, who's there's issues at the moment with Sepp. Personal issues, family issues. And Shane Lowry's not exactly tearing up trees right now. Now, this is clearly, there's a few weeks to go before the actual Ryder Cup at the end of September. But what were your thoughts, Paul, around those 6 Luke Donald picks?
Yeah, I think it was probably a little bit easier for Donald to work out where he wanted to go, because it's in the situation where you've got a captain retaining the captain's role for another Ryder Cup, and he's got the opportunity to pick pretty much exactly the same team as last time, just with the exception of Rasmus rather than Nikolai Højgaard. So in terms of continuity, in terms of executing the plan, in terms of people or players' familiarity with the way that he manages and managed the team to success in Italy a couple of years ago, being able to keep the band together effectively, I think will have pleased him. I think there were the question marks for me were over Fitzpatrick, but I don't think there was a world where Matt Wallace was getting in ahead of Matt Fitzpatrick anyway. You've got players like Marco Penge, you mentioned. Nikolai Højgaard was the question mark for me as to whether Nikolai would be a natural pairing with Rasmus. But then you've got to displace a player to do that. And the only question mark outside of, a slight question mark outside of Fitzpatrick was whether Sepp Straka would play because of his, as you mentioned, there's been some family stuff going on, which hasn't been well publicised, but has definitely been happening in the background. So, but that, you know, from the conversations that have been had from the interview they had with Sepp Straka yesterday when the captain's picks were announced, that's all been discussed at length, clearly, and put to bed. So with Straka in, I don't think there was scope for anyone else to come in. I think I would like to have seen a Højgaard pairing. I think that could have been really potent, particularly on a long testing Bethpage track.
Yeah.
But we won't get to see that. I'm sure we will get to see that over the years to come.
I expect Nikolai's there in some capacity.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
He'd be my 13th man. Would he be your 13th man, Barry? Nikolai Højgaard?
No. I would have put Penge in.
Penge?
Yeah. Because much fun as having the twins there together would be... God, would have been a close call, actually. I still think I would have gone for Penge. And it probably would have been because I would have thought maybe the twins could have been a distracting element to the two of them in the team. You know, everybody starts, having the twins is like extra powerful and it could get a little bit. But yeah, I would have put Penge in. And honestly, I think if it was a European hosted Ryder Cup, you would have seen maybe a quote unquote risk or two, one risk from Donald. He would have maybe brought in a rookie. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought like the Fitzpatrick could have been in that situation, the one that didn't make it through because of his poor record. But there's a lot more to being on a team than just the record. Like he could add a whole bunch of vibes to that dressing room that puts people in a spot where they play that little extra few percent better and they go out and get points. So, you know, there's a few more intangibles there that are just beyond the pure record. So, Steve, I think you put it perfectly. Like Donald hit that with a straight bat. Got that draw. Yeah, just got that little butter cut right down the middle. Just get it in play. Nothing crazy. Get the experience there. He really went for it. Yeah, it was just as much fun as it is talking about who could have or would have got on in the last, say, 4 or 5 weeks, it's become pretty clear to us that those were the six that were going to be picked.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no surprises.
For the record, on the Saturday morning of the BMW Championship, I took the plunge on Team Europe. 2.74 I got on Betfair Exchange. So I am Team Europe to win the Ryder Cup. I'm sorry about that, European supporters. But I thought there's a bit of value in there.
Yeah, there's a chance, isn't there? And this kind of continuity point could be important. We'll see.
Anything else you want to discuss, or should we move on to the Amgen Irish Open?
No, let's go. Let's push on, shall we?
Let's push on. Good tournament, Paul. Good field.
Yeah, it is a good field. We've got a few of those Ryder Cuppers that we've just mentioned at the top of the market, haven't we?
Oh, I tell you, one last thing before we move on. I must mention this. We've got the Pro Call Championship next week in the States. Apparently 10 of the 12 are playing, of the Team Americans. The two that clearly aren't is Bryson's obvious. The one that hasn't signed up as yet is Xander. So the other 10 are playing over in Silverado. In terms of the Wentworth tournament next week, the BMW PGA, 11 have signed up for that. The one that hasn't, again, Sepp Straka. So just getting that out there for context. players trying to keep active. And that's a new move for the Americans. Keegan has said, come and play the pro call. You just cannot go over a month without playing competitive golf.
Yep.
So I think that's a good move for the States. But like you say, Paul, there's quite a few Ryder Cuppers playing over at the K Club. McIlroy, Hatton and Lowry.
Yeah, what a couple of tournaments. That's going to be next week, by the way. That's going to be huge, isn't it? Yes, McIlroy, 4-1 favourite this week, as you might expect. Tyrrell Hatton, 12-1 best price. Shane Lowry, as you just mentioned, being pushed out to 18-1. The player that's nipped in between Hatton and Lowry in the betting is Marco Penge, who's been very, very popular in the market since he opened. He opened around about 20-1, and now the best price you're getting is 16-1 and dropping all the time as well. So plenty of money in for Marco Penge since the market's open. Rasmus Nygaard-Pettersson, 25, same price. Patrick Reed, who pops along from Liv. There's a few Liv players in the field, actually. Yeah. Jordan Smith, Tom McKibben, 35-1, 40-1 bar. You've also got the likes of Adrian Morong and Brooks Koepka's playing as well. And of course Hatton and Patrick Reed. So yeah, there's a few of the Liv players who've managed to find themselves in the field this week. Excellent field. Bookies have really stepped up as well. So Boyle Sports, as you might expect at the Irish Open, have gone a full 10 places each way, 1/5 of the odds for this week as their standard market. Ladbrokes Coral 8 places each way. And of course, as ever, you have those extended options, 8 places and 1/5 from both Bet365 and Betfred with some excellent prices. So do have a little shop about this week if you're having a bet, because there's some good options out there. Now we're playing the K Club County Kildare. There's two courses here at the K Club. So we're playing the Arnold Palmer designed North Course, which is a 7,441-yard par 72 Parkland track. Opened back in 1991, undulating fairways, water on a number of the holes. A really good test of golf. Barry, you played the K-Club. I guess you must have done.
Yeah, a few times. Lovely place to play golf. Some beautiful Parkland holes. Nice variety in there. And some challenging ones for at least for us amateurs, and I think you were right in your preview, Paul. It kind of feels like maybe they're not going to take the place apart this week because we've got a little bit of wind and a little bit of rain to deal with. The temperature's not so hot, so this ground is starting to get a little bit of that autumn kind of softness to it. Not completely, but it's getting there. So yeah, it's gonna. Unless they've got the hair dryers out in it the whole time, it's going to play with a little bit of length to it, particularly what tees they choose, what tee boxes.
It looks like it's been extended, because the previous notes I had was 7,350 or thereabouts yards. So there's been a little bit of yardage added to it since 2023, and certainly since 2016. So it feels to me like it's going to be a really strong driving test, a long game test this week, but we'll see. The 2006 Ryder Cup was hosted here, so it's got some good heritage. Ian Woosnam's team won that year, 18.5 to 9.5, so absolutely smashed the Americans that year. Also hosted the European Open back in 1995 through 2003, and also in 2005. Most relevant to us, though, is that the course hosted this event, the Irish Open, in both 2016 and 2023, so a couple of years ago. McIlroy won in 2016 at 12 under. He won by 3, so he was the only player, and this is to Barry's point, he was the only player in double digits under par that week. Vincent Norman, slightly easier year, but not a great deal. 14 under he won in 2023. So scoring doesn't tend to get away. It is a pretty good test, particularly given it's a par 72 as well. So if there's a little bit of wind, if the conditions are a little bit tricky, then it can play tough. That leads us to the weather nicely. And again, Barry's kind of alluded to this. There will be sunshine and showers all week. Temperatures up to around about 18 Celsius, so that's mid-60s Fahrenheit. But there is a bit of breeze in the forecast. Thursday, Friday, I'm seeing pretty consistent 14, 15 mile an hour wind. And then Saturday, it steps up a little bit from there. So 19, 20 miles an hour, pretty much drizzly rain all day as well. So it isn't going to be pleasant. Maybe a little bit of respite on the Sunday, 10, 11 miles an hour, but damp again. So it doesn't feel to me that it's going to be particularly easy or particularly nice for the players to be out there and playing golf. So what would I put as a winning score? I think probably if you're getting close to double digits under par going into the business end of the back nine on Sunday, I think you've probably got a chance of winning this golf tournament. So the kind of players who don't mind a bit of a grind could be the way to go.
So you reckon a grinding test this week?
I think Saturday, if you're playing that course, which is a fair test anyway, in a 20 mile an hour wind with persistent rain and drizzle.
Have you seen Sunday yet? Right now it's looking like gusting up to 60 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
Well,
yeah. And there's a bit of switch in wind direction as well. Hey, like, we're a few days out from it, but you go westerly to southwesterly to southerly to southeasterly. So it's going to make the course play in a variety of different ways. I don't think you're going to you might have stretches where you get bursts of birdies, but I just don't think you'll see a lot of people blitzing in really low rounds.
Mm. Well, that's interesting, Barry, because that forecast you've got is obviously updated or is a little different to mine. But I did wonder whether that Saturday wind might spill into Sunday. And if that's the case, yeah, if it stays like that, then maybe single figures under par could be the winning total this week. So a bit of a challenge, I think. So anyway, as I said, 2016, 2023 are the important years if you're flicking through and using the event stats or the combi sheets on the website this week. So do bear that in mind, because the other years will have been played on different courses. If you look at the stats from McIlroy and Norman, both of them were top 14 for driving distance. I do think you're going to need a little bit of mumbo from off the tee this week to win at the golf tournament. I suspect there'll be players kind of grinding sorts who can get themselves into contention and maybe each way places. But I think to actually win, you probably need a little bit more off the tee. Where were we? Norman, 14th for strokes or for greens and regulation. Rory led the field for greens and regulation. So from the old fashioned stats that we had back from 2016, greens and regulation was the key number there. Pretty solid all round from both of them. So a good all round game, but a bit of length from off the tee, hit lots of greens. That tends to be the order of the day. We've only got strokes gained stats from 2023. Strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained tee to green were the dominant stats from that year. And that kind of ties into this point that I was just making about a little bit of length and tee to green performance, iron performance. Norman was fifth for both strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained tee to green. For reference, Rory finished 16th that year back in 2023. So he didn't follow up his win from what was 7 years earlier at the time with another victory. Incoming form looks much better than event form if you're checking through those stats this week as well. Makes sense, I think, given that you've got this kind of nomadic nature of the Irish Open, which hops from venue to venue. So if you go back to 2012, all 13 winners had a top 20 finish in one of their last seven starts. And if you go back to Rory's win here back in 2016... 8 of the last 9 winners had a top 4 finish in one of their last 5 outings. So 8 out of the 9 had some very immediate contending form, which I found quite interesting. So for reference, Norman had won the Barbasol Championship just 5 starts prior to winning.
Yeah, I was on him that week.
You were indeed, yes.
Good old Vincent Norman.
Yeah, got his win there and then followed that up really quite quickly with the success over in Ireland. So that was good for him. McElroy came in with form of 4-10, 4-12. They were all in high class company. I think the fourth was at the Masters as well. So he'd been playing some really good stuff at elite level coming into this. So there was it was 4-1 back in the day. So there was clearly a case to be made for him and a case to be made for Vincent Norman as well 2 years ago. Tricky one this week, I think. I mean, if Rory wins at 4-1, which he could well do, then we're all playing for place money. So I've gone with a bit more of a speculative team this week, four players only. And the shortest of my players is 45-1. So before I get there and talk about the players I've backed, I'll just see if either of you guys have got any love for anything kind of 40-1 or shorter before I go into who I've picked.
I've got two.
Have you? Go for it then, Steve. Give us your names.
I've backed both of them with Boyle Sports, 10 places each way. I got in on Monday because I had no tip, so I was literally just backing players Monday afternoon.
Chomping up a bit.
Former first, sixth and eighth coming in. First, seventh and fifth for Tee to Green. His first professional win was at the 2019 Irish Masters on the Euro Pro Tour. I've gone for Marco Penge, 18-1. And then another guy that's absolutely striping it right now. This guy kind of follows the 2023 narrative of young, buccaneering, talented sort that's playing great golf, wins his first DP World Tour title. Rasmus Nygaard-Pettersson, I've gone 22-1 with Boyle Sports, 10 places each way. He won the German Challenge. You're going to like this, Barry. He won the German Challenge last year at the start of September.
Biorhythms.
This year, six top tens and he's got 10 top 20s. I just think he is due his first DP World Tour title very, very soon. He was eighth off the tee, second for approach and sixth for tee to green last week at that tricky little setup at Cranshaw Sierra. So yeah, two for me, Penge and Pettersson.
Penge was the most tempting of the players towards the top of the market for me.
Well, like you said, Norman and Fox were in the top three last year. Big drivers, driving the ball well on arrival. Yeah, Penge, it would seem to suit him.
Yeah. Interesting to see how he goes. As we've discussed, is a very bright prospect. What about you, Barry? Got any 40-1 or shorter that you've backed?
Both of those are really interesting. I'm kind of still forming ideas in my head. But I think when it comes to my bets, most of them will be born above a certain latitude. Just to be able to handle and be used to and be natively okay with the conditions. Like it's not going to be extreme, but it's certainly going to be testing you for 72 holes. So yeah, I think I need to stay up there. In terms of the shorter, I don't know where to settle. I like those two bets though, and I might just find a price on Penge. Like that length is going to be such an advantage this week.
Yeah, you have to be quick because he's been backed off the boards.
Yeah, I probably won't bother each way at this stage. I just grab him on the nose and let it run that way.
Just bang it on the nose, Barry.
Exactly.
Okay, the players that I've got a couple that are under 100-1. I said the shortest price that I've backed is 45, so it is. But the player I've led with is longer than that because for me, Grant Forrest is the bet of the week. And I've headlined with him on my preview, and he is my biggest winner of the week, should he come through and win this. 75-1 I got with the extra places yesterday. There's still some 80-1 out there that's available with standard each way places, which I thought on a player who absolutely mastered the wind at the Nexo Championship in Aberdeen last month was a great price. And particularly when we saw that Vincent Norman won just a few weeks before winning again here 2 years ago. So there's precedent for it, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Grant Forrest do exactly the same again. Back in Aberdeen, that was a four-stroke victory. He could afford a double on the final hole when he was coasting home. Real stripe show in the breezy conditions there. Led the field for strokes gained tee to green. Ninth for strokes gained off the tee. Second for strokes gained approach as well. Now, this isn't Lynx Golf, as we know. The two courses here, the other course, the South course, is far more Lynx-y than the North course, which is the Parkland course we're playing this week. But with a fairly stiff wind at times here, I think he can employ some of the same styles of shot that he used so effectively in Aberdeen. And that makes him a real danger, I think. Fifth in this last year at Royal County Down, and we might expect that given it was a Lynx-y test. Fourth prior to that at Mount Juliet, third here at the K Club in 2023. So he can play Parkland courses as well, particularly in the wind. And I just think there's a fair amount of juice in his price this week, and quite happy to lead with Grant Forrest. Beyond that, the shorter price player that I've backed, I've stuck with Keita Nakajima, who I backed last week. He's available. I got 45-1 with eight places. 50-1 again is out there if you take the standard each way terms. 17th last week, carrying my money. Solid, some good signs, just not quite good enough in the end to push on and really trouble the leaders. Got onto the fringes of contention a couple of times, but not quite there. 66-65 over the weekend, though, was good. He had back nines on Saturday and Sunday of 30 and 29 strokes. So there's certainly something percolating with Keita Nakajima. I think he's very close. And that came after he finished fourth at the Belfry the week before. 7-under for the par threes last week was the eye-catching stat for me. Suggests that his irons are working very nicely. And he can certainly handle the challenge. He won in Delhi last year on that quirky, tricky track, and then finished second behind Eugenio Chakra this year, when I think there are only three players who finished under par in the end that week. So can certainly grind when need is must for a grinding performance. So those are the two shorter prices, or shortish, or less, or prices that aren't towards the top of the market anyway. I've got a couple of longer three-figure prices. I'll rattle through them and then I'll bring you boys back in. John Catlin, 110-1 I backed. There's anything up to 150-1 if you prefer just to take the standard prices. I wanted some extra places with this because I think Catlin could just about sneak into an each-way place this week, given that he's the kind of stoic, grinding player that could perform on a test like this. As I said, 12-under and 14-under one here. Anything with the breeze this week, anything under double digits or thereabouts could be the winner. So I think he could be right in the mix. And that kind of brings a grinder like Catlin into the equation. He won in Valderrama back in 2020. That Valderrama track's tricky, as we know. He won at 2 over par that week. Won at Galgorham Castle later that year, 10 under par. So a bit of Parkland form. Again, it wasn't a cakewalk by any description that week. Won the Australian Open the following year. We were on board that year, or that week, 14 under par he won. So certainly got some previous for performing when conditions are pretty tricky. Not done a great deal this year, and hence the reason why we're getting the price. But 8th at Austria was his best. 65 to open last week showed a little bit of a sign of life. So perhaps he can push on and improve and perform this week in Ireland. And the other one, the prices of the odds on Todd Clements, who I backed yesterday at 200-1, pretty much gone now. I'm seeing best price 150s and shortening all the time. So there certainly seems to be a number of punters who, like me, think that the price on Todd Clements was a little bit dismissive. So if you do fancy an each-way punt on Clements, then again is another one that you're going to need to jump on relatively quickly, I think. Hit 80% of greens in regulation last week at Cran-Sorcier. Small greens over there, that's a really eye-catching stat. Finished 28th in the end, and that was after he'd finished third at the Barracuda and seventh at the Nexo Championship behind Grant Forrest. Won the 2023 Czech Masters on a similar length par 72. Won the 2022 Irish Challenge on the South Course here at the K Club as well. So we'll certainly have some strong, decent vibes heading back to this part of the world, I'd imagine. Handled the wind well in Aberdeen as well. So I think he is a worthy each-way punt this week at a three-figure price. So Clements, Catlin, Nakajima and Forrest for me. Steve, any three-figure prices or anything longer from you?
I haven't got three-figure. I've gone 55 to 1. I've got that with Ladbrokes, eight places each way. So thanks to Ladbrokes for that. John Parry. Tough conditions. I think he's one of the stories of the year, you know, if you scratch down a few levels. This guy's 38. He's had to rebuild his career completely. Yeah? He played junior golf for a length of time. It's a bit Matteo Manassero-ish, but
yeah.
He's currently fourth in the standings to get a PGA Tour card for next year.
Mm.
He's sitting below Tyrrell Hatton in sixth spot on the race to Dubai. One more good week and he's playing PGA Tour next year, guaranteed. And you're just talking about tough conditions. I know he's not a bomber, but you're talking tough conditions. It's going to be a grind. He was third a few weeks ago at that Nexo Championship, which was the one with Grant Forrest. Fourth at the Sudal Open. Second at the Kenya Open this year. He was second for tee to green last week, John Parry.
Mm.
Negative on the putting. Finished 13th. So, yeah, I think John Parry is a very interesting bet here. And he played here, I believe, would it have been 2023? Yeah. He was 13th going into the weekend, going into Sunday, finished 33rd. He was 10th at halfway. We just know that he's in a far better position 2 years on than he was back then.
Yep.
So Parry, 55 to 1 for me, John Parry.
Yeah, he's had a great year, hasn't he? Really strong year.
Could see him grinding his way into an each-way place, no doubt.
You never know. You never know. Barry, any longer ones from you?
Couple of mids and a longer. So looking at Keita Nakajima, fourth, 17th the last couple of weeks. Nice, like high accuracy off the tee, which I think will be quite beneficial this week. So if you can have one of those weeks or even slightly better than his average, that would be very helpful for just ticking off pars and nipping the odd birdie or two here or there. And next, looking at Oliver Lindell, Finland. So going very, very deep north for above the latitude. So last three outings are 17th last week and then an 8th and a 7th, weeks 3 and 4 away from here. First time playing the Irish Open. So just again, I'm going to find the right combo of price and places, but I'll be looking to kind of open up the places a bit more for these. And then the other one I was looking at was Kobori, who's from New Zealand. So the other side of the latitude, but has been playing some nice golf recently in spots, a couple of missed cuts, but then a second 2 weeks ago. So kind of just jumping on the hopefully he just sparks this week. He seems to be hit or miss when it comes to his golf results or his finishing positions. So, but I think I can catch him at three figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad on a player to finish second at the Belfry a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it did play well.
What's the story with Kabori? What do you know about him, Paul?
Yeah, not a great deal. It seems one of these difficult, you know, players that's tough to call in terms of results. And I think Barry's right in that you could take a chance on him and it could either be a miscut or, you know, kind of flies through and nabs you a place, potentially. Lindell was interesting because he was one that did play well at the Nexo Championship, again in the win. So he was kind of on my shortish list, but I didn't want to go too mad on it this week, given the vagaries of the tournament. And if Rory does go and win, then of course it's just going to scupper everyone's outright
bets. There's the elephant in the room that we haven't discussed, like the fact that there's some truly, truly serious players here, like Rory, Hatton, Lowry. It's kind of amazing to see Marco Penge shorter than Lowry in general in the market.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's been really, really popular.
Mm.
But that's a measure of how he's been playing. And it is the fifth week straight for Penge. So, you know, is there going to be some fatigue coming in? I can't think that he's going to be disappointed not to get a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup, because I don't think he probably thinks he was ever in with a shout of it anyway. But he's playing some great stuff. So I can see why he's been popular.
He's only 400 points behind Rory McIlroy in the race to Dubai. 3-1-5-7 McIlroy, 6 tournaments. 20 tournaments played. Penge, 2-7-2-1. And then Ratan, 2-1-2-0 in third. That's the mark of how well Penge has been playing.
Yeah.
Is that us then, chaps?
That is, yes. Looking forward to this. Looking forward to next week. So it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, it's good to be back, isn't it? Good to be back in the saddle. The podcast is up and running till the end of November. I hope your bets go well, chaps.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. Don't forget, send in your 5-star Apple reviews for us. And, of course, subscribe if you are listening on the YouTube channel. We'll be back next week for 2 cracking tournaments, the Pro Tour Championship in California and also the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. See you next week.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Is this the golf betting system? The golf